one of you and your smiling faces and hear all that wonderful singing and wonderful music. I'd like to begin with something I hope will make you smile. And I'd like to thank Dana and Bob Chandler for their contributions to this list. Church signs, or blame them, no. Church signs 2016. Number one, sign broken, message inside. Two, life without God is like trying to dribble a football. Three, doubt is a step on the way to faith. Four, kindness is difficult to give away. It keeps coming back. Five, if you put God first, you'll never lose. Six, autumn leaves, Jesus doesn't. And from two winters ago, if you're praying for a blizzard, please go to Dairy Queen. Eight, see a need, take a lead. Nine, do a good deed daily. And finally, number 10, looking for a loving family, come join us. And I could tell you that's really true. I remember 16 years ago when I was invited to preach here for the first time, and I found this to be a very loving church and a very loving family. And if nothing else, that love has grown. And I remember when John Crutchfield called me after I preached here once, and he invited me back, and I said I'd be delighted, I'd be honored to come back once again. And we've continued to come back over the years. In fact, for a while there, I was even bringing my dad, and he would sing, and I would preach, and we had some wonderful memories of those days, and we're making some new memories today. The title of this morning's message is Jesus First, Jesus First, the importance of giving Jesus first place in our hearts and lives, and it's taken from the book of Colossians. The key word is preeminence, and the theme is the absolute supremacy of Christ, or Christ's preeminence. The key text, if you want to look it up, is Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. This wonderful book was written in 60 AD by the Apostle Paul. Like the letters of Ephesians and Philippians, Colossians was written in Rome during Paul's first imprisonment. And like Ephesians and Philippians, Paul had not visited there. Colossae was about 100 miles east of Ephesus, and the church may have been founded by Epaphras, who had been converted during Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus. Henrietta Mears, the founder of Gospel Light, has a great chapter outline for Colossians. Number one, the deeper life. Chapter one, God gives us eternal life. Two, the higher life. Chapter two, Christ lives for us at the right hand of the Father, and we should live for him. And Christ should live in us. Galatians 2:20. Three, the inner life. Chapter three, we need to be rooted in Christ and built up in him. Remember the old Sunday school song, "He is the vine and we are the branches"? Do you remember that? I see a few smiles out there. It's taken from John 15 and it applies beautifully to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians was written because heresy had crept into the Colossian church. Some were teaching that certain Jewish holy days were still to be kept. Others were advocating false philosophies, including a version of Gnosticism that denied the deity of Christ. They held that the divine spirit came upon Jesus at his baptism and left when he died on the cross. Others taught the worship of angels. Simply put, the false teaching was a mix of paganism, Judaism, mythology, and philosophy, all tacked on to Christianity. Paul dealt with this false teaching by concentrating on the lordship of Christ, by putting Jesus first. One day it was raining out and the children couldn't go out to play. And one mother told her young son, Johnny, "I have a special treat for you." And she gave him a giant jigsaw puzzle to complete. And she thought as he started to work on it, that'll keep him busy for a while and I get some projects done. So she went in the kitchen to do just that. A few minutes later, though, Johnny comes running into the kitchen. "Mommy, Mommy, I'm all done." She said, "How'd you finish so quickly?" She was astonished. He said, "Well, I put Jesus in the middle, and the rest of the pieces just seem to fit in." That is giving Jesus the preeminence. He's the head of the church, and when he's given his rightful position, everything else fits in this no room for heresy. The absolute supremacy of Christ must be the church's first concern. You know, U.S. Treasury officials, when they come out to teach people how to spot counterfeit bills, they don't spend a lot of time with the counterfeits. They teach the originals. They might have a few counterfeit samples just to show them that's what it looks like, but they focus on studying the original. In the same way, Paul stops heresy by teaching us about the real Christ and how we should live. Our first point this morning is present, but not preeminent. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, he enters our lives and becomes part of us, but he wants to fill us completely with his great love. When we put Jesus first, he gives us joy. Do you remember the old acrostic? J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. That's real joy. This type of joy fills our lives and hearts with joy, happiness, adventure, excitement, purpose, and his great love. A pastor was visiting the home of a young couple, and as they sat in the living room and discussed the Bible and church and all that good stuff, the three-year-old came running in, holding in his hand a little wilted wildflower. And he yelled, "Mommy, Mommy, I've picked you a beautiful bouquet." Sensing the love in his heart, she scooped him up in her arms. She kissed his dirty cheek. She said, "Yes, what a lovely bouquet." And in the pastor's mind's eye, as the scene unfolded, all of a sudden that wilted wildflower became a beautiful rose. Many times, Hannah and Allie, our granddaughters, will bring us bouquets of flowers. Sometimes they're gorgeous. Sometimes they're more of the wilted variety. But no matter what, they look beautiful to us because they're given with a heart of love. Our second point is preeminent, not just prominent. As we grow in our faith, we want to spend more time with God through prayer, Bible reading, service to others, and of course, church attendance. But we don't want to stop there. We want Jesus to completely fill our lives with his great love. Eric Hayden said, "Make this poor self grow less and less. Be thou my life and aim. O make me daily through thy grace more meet to bear thy name." Our third point is to make him president of our lives. I don't know if you're aware of it, but we're in a presidential election year. We're going to elect a new president for the United States. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you how to vote. But we should all elect Jesus, the president of our lives. To make him president is to make him preeminent. As we continue to grow in Jesus, we want him to have first place in our lives. Just as we elect a president for the United States, so we want to elect Jesus as the president of our lives. But how do we put Jesus first in our lives? Colossians has the answer. Colossians 3:8 through 14. Colossians 3:8. "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." And Colossians 3:9b says, "Do not lie to each other." On the positive side, Colossians 3:12b through 14a says, "Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues, put on love." Dr. Leonard Allred was one of our favorite professors at Northeastern Bible College down in New Jersey. And he said that putting Jesus first is like changing our clothes. We take off the old, dirty, torn, worn-out clothes, and we put on beautiful, new, clean clothes. For instance, we take off the old clothes of anger. This word carries the idea of continual hatred that wants revenge. Wrath, an outburst of temper, like a shotgun blast. It's brief, but it can do lots of damage. Malice, a vicious desire to hurt others. And blasphemy, slanderous talk against God and others. And filthy language. Roy Rogers, the Christian cowboy, made lots of movies and lots of TV shows. But a few years ago, commenting on the modern movies, he said, the language in some of those movies is so bad, I won't even let my horse Trigger watch them. And lying, intentionally giving a false impression, either by words or actions. Then we're to put on our new clothes of tender mercies, heartfelt compassion, desperately needed by those hurting around us. Kindness, which includes graciousness and integrity. Humility, not beating up on yourself, just realizing that without him, I am nothing. Meekness, not weakness, but gentleness under control. Remember Jesus? Long-suffering, patience, the ability to keep it together when others are falling apart. And bearing with one another, putting up with all those people who don't agree with us. And we're always right, aren't we? Well, we feel we are. At least we feel that way a lot of the time. And forgiving one another. And forgetting. Don't keep dragging it out of the closet. And love. This is the same word translated loved in John 3:16, my favorite verse of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This teaches us about God's great love. So how do we put Jesus first? The first step is to know him as our personal Savior. Then we're ready to grow in God's great love and become all he meant us to be. Beautiful Christians filled with love for everyone. Dale Evans once prayed, Father, in everything I do, may others see my love for you. A young unknown artist was touring an art gallery in a Roman castle. As he passed from painting to painting, all of a sudden he came upon this huge, beautiful masterpiece. And inspiration just took him over. And he says, I've got to paint a copy of that masterpiece. And you know what he did? He went to work to paint a miniature of that masterpiece. He got his paint, he got his easel, and he got his chair. He set up right there in the castle and started to paint. You can guess what happened. The guards came along, and actually they were very nice. They said, young fella, you can come and admire the painting all you want, but you can't be setting up shop here. So he took his stuff home, and then he came back day after day and stared at that beautiful masterpiece for hours until he could close his eyes and still see it in every lovely detail. And every night, he would go home and put a few more brush strokes on his miniature. Finally, he was done. He had invited all his friends and family and anyone else that would come to see his miniature. And everyone that came said how beautiful it was. They're really, truly impressed. Then you know what they did? They hurried off to see the original. Would you like to be like that artist? By grace, you can be if you give to others a miniature view of the loveliest person in the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. You know, we can start on that road to faith right now. We can begin to put Jesus first in our lives. It's a transforming experience. I can tell you that in my own personal life. It will change your life. It'll take you from darkness to light. It'll take you into a new reality that you never experienced before. And all you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart and make you a member of his family. Just tell him that you believe in him, and he'll do just that. Why don't you pray with me? You don't have to pray out loud. You're talking to God, not to me, not to anyone else. And ask Jesus into your heart. If you're not sure you've ever done it, this would be the perfect time. Jesus died to give you the free gift of eternal life, and you can receive that gift right now. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Please forgive my sins. come into my heart and make me a member of your family. Lord, I believe in you. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.